This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And give it up for the Gilmore Guys! Yeah, now we're up in Brooklyn, ringing in the Bell House for the Gillies. Thank you all for coming out.
If you haven't heard, yeah, we give it all our passion.
Talking pop culture.
Fashion.
Read a bad synopsis, maybe run a promo.
Talk about the show, but giving spoilers is a no-no.
Read your Twitter. Answer your questions.
Talk about the puns.
Or do some bad impressions.
Then we give our ratings. Give you guys some shout-outs.
Enough about the podcast. What's this episode about?
Well, Luke is feeling lovesick, so we get some love tapes. Now he's got the love bug, seeing Lorelai's face.
Liz is getting married, but Josh is all above it.
TJ starts a fight and women wrestle in a mud pit.
Asher's in the hospital. Jackson's with the vegetables. It sounds wild, but it's just another episode of...
Hey! Gilmore Girls, this show is the greatest. We're talking the latest episode of Gilmore.
Come on, come on.
Let's take it back to Stars Hollow. They lead and we follow. Follow for Gilmore, Gilmore, Gilmore. One hand in the air for my true Gillies. I can't believe you guys are here. This is really silly.
Cop a boom and I'm shaking to my core. And we're all here and we know what for.
Do we want Gillies? No, we want Gilmore. Do we want Gillies?
We want Gilmore.
Gilmore Girls, that show is the greatest. We're talking the latest episode of Gilmore. Take it back to Stars Hollow. They lead and we follow. Follow for Gilmore, Gilmore, Gilmore. La la la, la la, episode 420.
It's just a random coincidence.
It's a coincidence.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Timmy.
And we are
the Gilmore Guys.
Wow, right?
This is a lot.
This is a lot. We're both about to have a breakdown right now.
Oh, yeah.
We're about to melt down right before your eyes.
Oh, man.
Guys, thank you for helping us sell out 2 shows in New York City!
Yeah.
2 shows. Well, technically 3 shows, but we won't count that.
Yeah,
one,
right? That's
it's another venue. It's bad mayors.
We're going to
tap dance
for an hour.
Oh, my God. By round of applause or woos...
You choose.
Yeah. How many men are here? Oh yeah, my bro Gillies. Let's talk about guy stuff, man. You know when your woman be emotional?
You know how they be shopping?
Boy, this is exactly what our fan base wants.
Yeah.
It's riffs on the differences between men and women. Oh my gosh. I hope this isn't disappointing yet.
If they've been disappointed at, 3 minutes in, then they're not going to like
the
rest
of the show. You can GTFO, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I want to get to know the audience a little bit.
All right, let's get to know the audience.
Okay, Team Dean, let's hear it.
Woo!
All right, there's
one vocal
three
guy. One over here, one over here.
You guys should meet up afterwards and talk about how wrong you guys are.
Talk about infidelity, baby.
That's crazy. That's crazy. He's... Whatever.
His hair is so... It's such a little mop this season.
But not Jared's. Jared's hair is...
Jared, woo!
Oh, my God.
I mean, we both, yeah.
He looks like Simba.
It was a... That was the song you heard when you saw him take off his beanie.
Wanna be a mighty kid? Yeah, that's what was playing in my head. Oh, that's just all of it. Just a mashup of all of the Lion King soundtrack.
So I just can't wait. Okay. Team Jack. Okay. Fair. Who am I to say? These are all opinions. It's like vanilla versus
chocolate. Right, opinions
chocolate.
Can't be wrong.
Except for that one. Team Logan!
I don't know who that is yet.
It's a show. That's true. I forget this is not significant at all yet to Demi.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a showdown between Logan and Jess at this point.
Team Marty! Yeah! The same guy as Team Dean.
No, that's a different guy.
Oh, okay.
That's a different guy.
I was like, one guy's just like, I'm choosing the wrong side.
In one sentence, why was Marty the best boyfriend? I just spit a lot. Why was Marty the best boyfriend for Roy?
Duck soup.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Groucho.
Some of that duck soup, bro.
Duck soup.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, man.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, my. Well, I guess it's time for our next slide. Well, oh, no, I made a mistake.
Kevin, are you kidding me?
Oh, no.
This happens, for the listeners at home, Kevin yet again has put up the photo of Kelly Bishop. This happened over a month ago.
Yeah, but can we turn the lights on a little bit? I just want to point something out. This is, so people have been wondering about this claw. This was done to respect and honor our queen. This wasn't a weird like.
You know how when you see the queen, you give her a death grip?
Yeah, as you do. And this was posed. We did it it's a bit. We're all friends. We all know each other now. It's a big family now. Anyway.
I want people to, if you see Kelly Bishop on the street, just ask her about the photo. She'll be like, I've never seen that man in my life.
My goodness. I need a gimlet. We could just literally quote the show for the next hour.
We're actually just going to recite episodes of the show you've already seen.
Please. I need coffee. Yeah.
Father.
First line, I might be misquoting it. You think it's time?
I think it's time
to bring out our special guest. You ready? Let's hit that music.
La la.
Sing it if you know.
La la la. Special guest.
You know this first woman from Parks and Recreation. Give it up for Aisha Muhari.
You know the second lovely lady. You know this second lovely lady from Girls. Give it up for Sarah Hayward.
And of course, you know this man from a lot, including the founder and editor of TV Line. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Michael Asiello! Woo! Special guest. Have a seat, everyone. Yay, is this awesome yet? Is this already fun, everybody?
Kevin's going to ask every 5 minutes just to make
sure. Do you guys still like me? Is it okay? Is what we're doing okay?
He's our flight attendant.
Oh, boy. Guys, girls, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
A treat, a special New York City combo. Michael, Sarah, and Aisha. Michael, we didn't talk about backstage, but do you have a particular team of boyfriend that you might be on as far as the big three go?
I'm going to go with Team Logan.
Yeah. Team Logan for life, man.
Hook 'em.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. We have a lot of friends in the audience tonight. This is very overwhelming. This is fun. The episode we're discussing tonight is episode 420. Don't say anything. This is episode 420. Luke can see her face.
Everything is an applause line. I just like literally everything
can
be an applause line. So let's get into it. The Netflix synopsis. A hand is a self... This is flawed. Let me get into it. A self-help tape helps a depressed Luke realize he already knows his soulmate. Lorelai is stressed as the Dragonfly Inn's opening day approaches. Is he depressed? No, he's fine. I think he's fine.
It's like one of the most joyful we see him.
Yeah, he's pretty light.
I made a note. He's smiling a lot.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah.
But let's get into it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the episode and put them together. Oh no, I started too early. Happens a lot. Take every pop culture reference, put them in a sewer guy, blah, 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 you know. So this 420, Luke can see your face. Pop Goes the Culture.
You were going to ask him after class, but Toby from American Splendor wouldn't stop yapping, and he couldn't.
Hey, Abbott, just assemble the books.
I've lived.
What, in a Bette Midler movie?
Isn't Kansas lousy with wheat?
I do recall Toto running through fields of it. I see Dr. Phil books in our future. The absolute funniest movie known to man. Fatso.
Hit me with some more lame tautologies, Socrates.
You left me hanging with the Lords of Flatbush here.
And Bancroft wrote and directed it.
Well, Annie Sullivan, look at you go.
It's just on the playlist these days. I'm guessing Jethro Tull or Jethro Tull.
Not incapable. I just haven't been hitting the head with the Oprah stick lately.
You men always telling us to calm down. Me, Hillary, Martha, the second we make a squeak, you're pushing us onto the fainting couch.
Honey, please.
I was really glad I got that nurse in there at the end. Honey, please. Oh, boy, so this episode, it's kind of a turning point for this whole show, isn't it? This is the moment where Luke can see her face. So the way it's set up, I guess it's because Lorelai pretends that they're dating at the inn to throw that guy off the scent. It's a very uncomfortable scene. It's very strange. The chemistry is interesting. Actually, let's go ahead. You know, I don't want to get too clip heavy. Oh, you know what we need to do?
What?
You know what we forgot to do as part of our rep? We need to play a promo from the WB for this show. We need to. This is how the Warner Brothers Network marketed this show for an audience at the time in 2004. So there's actually two, and the second one's really, they're both really funny. So let's take a look.
Next Tuesday, Kiss is back for an event that will bring out the good.
Take a break with me. Come to the wedding.
The bad.
We're married here.
I overheard Dean and Lindsay having a major fight.
And the Kiss. Fresh Gilmore Girls. Next week on the WB's New Tuesday.
And the Jets. awkward. I'm the announcer. Yeah. Whatever that guy's name is. And then let's watch the shortened version of that promo. The 15 second version.
You stay with you.
Guess is back. And it's fun again. Fresh Gilmore Girls on WB's New Tuesday.
Wait! I just said jokingly, oh, it probably cuts straight to the fight.
Jess is back, and it's gonna get ugly.
I love...
That's all.
I love the announcement.
Jess is back. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
That's honestly probably the least important thing that happens in this episode.
Is TJ flipping that book up?
Yeah.
That book got some air, by the way, in that scene. That was... I wanted to play the Chariots of Fire theme over it, but I didn't have time to... It was crazy. So Jess is back. Luke goes to visit him in his New York City apartment. As you all know, the most accurate New York City apartment. Was it a studio? Was it like...
Yeah.
It was huge.
With like eight men.
But he was sharing it with people, too. It wasn't just his studio. Didn't he have roommates?
Yeah. He did have roommates.
So that is slightly realistic.
It was very like fake dirty, though. You know? Like it was like the Gilmore Girls version of what a dirty apartment
looks
like.
As is Jess. He's fake dirty. I think that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah. He put out an ad for fake dirty roommates like himself.
I mean, Craigslist,
fake and dirty.
Not really tough, but kind of tough.
Yeah. Enough where he could take him with like a sick Oliver Twist reference or something. Learn to read. Or something like that.
I also love that like beepers, first of all, still existed and like still was like a drug dealer thing. You know, it's a rare moment of like dating the show.
Were beepers still a thing in 2004?
It's news to me.
Beepers are still a thing now.
What?
trying
to be. Oh my gosh. So crazy. And then also, I mean, not to skip too much ahead to other segments, but what is going on with his hair in this episode?
No.
There's some interesting things.
You guys don't like it?
I don't like, and you know I'm Team Jess. Very. But yeah, his hair is, I feel like this is the rare episode where Dean looks physically better than Jess in this episode. Like, I think Jess. You guys!
Whoa!
Come on! I'm on your side!
You guys bring tomatoes to throw?
She's one of Jess. You! We're in this together. I'm just saying it's not his best look.
Right.
It's kind of.
That's fair.
He's still great, you guys.
Focus on more than one sense at a time.
But it's like, you get rid of her!
Oh, man. Okay, well, I want to play a clip again of the aforementioned Luke and Lorelai fake couple scene. This is when she's trying to scare off Stevie or whatever his name is.
It's like you've never seen this
Come
show.
On. Clearly, I'm not qualified to host this show. So let's play the scene in which she's scaring off legendary Gilmore Girls character, Shell.
Team Shell. Team Shell.
Team Shell. Okay, here we
hey,
go.
Hey, Luke, get up.
What?
Shell, this is Luke.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
Luke is my special friend.
Oh?
Yeah, I have to tell you, renovating this place has been a real nightmare. I just don't know how I would have gotten through it without him. Have I said thank you to you recently?
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, it was nice meeting you both. I'm just going to go say goodbye to Suki.
Oh, bye, Shell.
Bye, Shell.
Don't touch my stomach.
You put my hand there.
She's trying to set me up with Shell, the poultry guy? Why would she do that? I just broke up with someone.
Yeah.
We'd been dating for a few months now.
I figured there was someone in the picture.
You did? How?
Just clues, you know, you never dress weather appropriate, that kind of thing.
Well, I can bundle on up now.
I'm sorry.
So that's interesting to me for a few reasons. One, I'm wondering if that's the impetus for Luke to go out and get self-help tapes. But then two, the fact that...
No, but
well, she mentions,
she
Dr.
mentions
Phil.
Dr. Phil, which I hadn't remembered that she really directly gives him. She goes, I see Dr. Phil books
and
in our future.
And that's when he's like, okay.
He's like, not for me. And then it like cuts to him buying that.
Yeah.
Wait, so shouldn't the tapes been Dr. Phil audiobooks?
Just like Todd Koppel, they couldn't get them.
Can you see her face?
What? Whose face do you see, friend?
That's way better. That's way better than mine. Okay, so that is the impetus. We do agree to that. For getting self-help. Because it did seem kind of like there's that scene and then all of a sudden he's buying self-help tapes like a porn store.
I almost wonder. It almost felt like a scene was cut in between because it was like I didn't feel there was a strong enough like.
Yeah, but he didn't have a moment there even when she was touching him where he was nothing registered there except for really just disgust.
But it would have
kind
of. He's so in love with her that even a mention of that, something she says, he's like, okay, I'll do it.
It's true.
Yeah.
I wish you'd seen like a light bulb or something. Or he goes home and he like Googles Dr. Phil on his like 1995 computer.
His T-Mobile sidekick.
Or something. So that was the first thing. The second thing was that I totally forgot that he did not know about Digger. And that he was just like, that he quote unquote didn't know about Digger, you know?
I forgot that too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we have nothing to add.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
We forgot that we didn't know some stuff.
Well, she was kind of hiding it from him, because I noticed even the episode before this, she's on the phone with Rory and Digger, and Luke comes out and says who you're on the phone with, and she's like, oh, two person, like, she doesn't say who it is. She's, because she, like, you know, is kind of weird about talking about her boyfriends with Luke.
And on the other hand, taking Luke to town for not telling her that he moved in with Nicole, like, it.
Classic Lorelai.
Classic Lorelai.
Is there any reason she wouldn't tell him about Digger? Like, why?
No, just her own...
weirdness?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. No. I mean, her own... Yeah, it's the entitlement issues. I feel like you could play a drinking game for how much we say the word entitlement on this show. She's entitled. It's entitled. There's entitlement.
Someone just died at home playing that game.
And then... and then, of course... that device is used throughout the episode. So Luke does go and get the tapes from the bookstore, and he's like, oh, yeah, right, this bullshit, whatever. And then he's, like, listening throughout the episode, but then there's a moment, and I do remember, like, this is one of the first episodes I saw, you know, when I was a little boy. And it's fine. And I do remember the like the whoa moment. But for me, it was a little unclear. So I feel like I fixed it.
What did you do?
Yeah, I feel like I fixed the scene. So let's go ahead.
Kevin prepares stuff and doesn't tell me about it. So I'm very
let's go ahead and watch that scene I fixed.
Story time. I had a friend, let's call him Philip, who couldn't make up his mind amongst three different women that he liked. I developed a test for him and for you.
Oh, goody.
Two phone calls or visits are never unwanted or too long. Do you see her face? Who would you most like to have in your life to ward off moments of loneliness? Do you see her face? When you travel, who would make your travels more enjoyable? Do you see her face? When you're in pain, who would you most like to comfort you? Do you see her face? When something wonderful happens in your life, a promotion at work, a successful refinancing, who do you want to share the news with? Do you see her face? Whose face appears to you? Whose face?
Whoa.
So to me, I feel like that edit made things a lot more clear.
You just ruined that episode for me. I hope you're happy. Destroyed it.
For the listener at home, I edited clips of the departed Fran Weston onto. Oh, bummer.
Way to go, Kevin.
Oh boy. So Luke can't see if it, and that's how do we feel overall? I'll throw this out to the panel. How do we feel overall about the device that it's self-help books / tapes? That.
Oh. Next question.
Are you on the panel, man? Are you on the panel?
Next question. We did it.
No, because it's legit. You know, everything's worth talking about. Was it a good device? Was it lazy? Was it worth it?
My only problem with the device is that the self-help audio paused every time Luke had a thought. And I thought that was really unrealistic. Yeah. That was my only issue.
Fair. Okay, so that was the unrealism of it. I think overall, it's after all this time, after three, almost four seasons of build-up, that it's like, and then he bought a book, and then he realized he's in love with her.
It's like he had some memory triggered by the tape, and he's just like, oh, I'm in love? I forgot.
Yeah.
I don't like it either.
And then what does it say about, like, is this supposed to be commentary on the idea of, like, men are not in touch with their emotions to the point where they need self-help books to, like, realize them? Or I just don't know. I don't know what the statement here is.
I think it's just him. Maybe not all men. Like, yeah. I think it's just, okay. Like, Luke.
Not all men.
Yeah.
Hashtag not all men. Not all men.
Just this weird hermit man, Luke. Like, I feel like he... It also was nice because he's realizing that he... It's kind of cheesy, but I also thought it was kind of nice that part of his, like... personal discovery is related to Lorelai. Like he goes into this more with the next episode, but it's like he's realizing I have to be open to this and what do I really want? So it feels like, it also feels like it's gonna stick. Like there's something about it that makes it feel like it's a big moment for him. So it's like, oh, when this happens now, it's not just gonna be a casual, let's try it, or like we hooked up drunk. Like he's going in like, this is the woman I want.
Without giving stuff away, he does go in so aggressively. It would have to be something. This felt like a real, like, watching Luke get enlightened. Like, it was like, to me, it was like, the tapes, it's like a device. In part of my favorite genre of romantic comedy is two people pretending to be in love fall in love. It's putting it, you know, like House Sitter, Can't Buy Me Love, Drive Me Crazy. Just to name a few off the top of my head. But this could have been that. Like if the Shell Sossman scene had been a little bit like more nuanced and better done, like the whole episode, if they had been pretending to be a couple, like that could have been a way. But I kind of liked this and that he then like passes it on to Jess, like, these two, like, you know, stunted men.
I think I heard half the audience faint when you said, pass it on to Jess. I'm not sure.
And also, I think Scott really sold the storyline. This was really a fantastic episode for him. As I was watching it, I don't think he gets enough props for what he did with this role. Just a real sweetness and honesty to that performance, especially in the scene with Jess. I was really moved by it.
His scenes with Jess in this episode and in the next episode are some of my favorite Luke scenes
so good.
Ever.
And Jess scenes, honestly. I think
they're
these,
great together.
They really are. These two episodes are the episodes where I sort of see Jess in this light of something happened when he was gone. And I would love to see the two episode arc of what happened while he was gone to make him like finally be like, okay, I do need to change. If I'm going to get Rory back, I got to be an actually different person, not pretending to be one. But we'll get into that in a...
That's deep. That's hella deep, yeah. Let's go ahead and play a scene. Well, I'll just... No intro. It's not a weird scene that I made up.
Lindsay, I'm working.
Are you? How shocking.
What do you want me to do?
We're supposed to go out with Erica and David tonight.
I can't.
So why would you say you could?
Lindsay, I told you, if there was a chance for some extra hours...
Oh, come on.
...then I was going to take it.
We never do anything, Dean.
We need money. God, you know that, Lindsay.
You are so incredibly selfish. You never think about me. Never.
You want a townhouse? You want a new car? We need money to pay for these things.
I sit at home all day waiting for you. You never call during the day like you always promise you will. I'm bored, Dean. Don't you care about that? I want to go out with my husband. Hello, we're married here.
Well, I'll be done in a couple of hours if you want to...
I'm going out with Erica and David.
Fine, go. When will you be home?
When I get home.
That's nice, Lindsay. That's real nice.
Whatever, Dean.
Whatever, Dean.
That's my new text tone for Kevin texting me.
I love that scene, and here's why. Several times during that scene, I forgot who those two characters were, and I found it really helpful because they just kept reminding me, oh, it's Dean and Lindsay.
Lindsay, you're my wife, and Dean, you're my husband.
Lindsay, we got married earlier this season. Dean, I know.
It's the most
we got a salad spinner.
The most subtle exposition ever on television.
Totally. So I guess the question is this the greatest fight scene in television history? Is this in the Alias season 2 finale for me, or the two contenders? So this is, again, developing this story, the drift happening in their marriage. And up to this point, I will say, I mean, at least for us, I think, Lindsay wasn't, like, hateable. She wasn't hateable.
She was passive.
Yeah, she was passive. She was just, like, she was a wife and, you know. You know.
She was a wife. She was useless. She was useless is what she was.
That wasn't the synonym I was going for.
This is going to show up in every, just like, yeah. Kevin hates women.
Gilmore guys hate wives.
Gilmore girls attack them. Good thing I'm cutting this out. I won't. I'll leave.
There are 350 witnesses.
Oh yeah, do you want to show off your t-shirt? I don't know if anyone will get it. Demi's wearing a t-shirt that says a little to the left.
My completely platonic non-sexual t-shirt.
Okay. That's an episode 411 deep cut for all you silly gillies out there.
There was a line in which Jason says a little to the left and Kevin's like, he's making sex jokes to his dog. And we were like, huh? I don't think...
He was right!
Oh, boy!
Wow.
I disagree. I don't think the WB would have been like, yeah, let's put a sex joke in about the dog.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say about this, because this is completely irrelevant to the episode at hand, is that I did watch that. Listeners sent that scene from America's Sweethearts to me. And Billy Crystal's dog is licking him, and he says a little too much.
How popular of a movie is America's Sweethearts? Cheer for America's Sweethearts. You guys haven't thought about the movie in maybe 5 years. Like, they're all going to leave and go to the America's Sweethearts podcast next door.
Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, America's Sweethearts, Jurassic Park.
The Disorderlies or something. Like, I don't know. Okay.
Oh, boy. So anyway.
Enough about that.
Dean and Lindsay, do we like their conflict here? Is it viable? Are we tired of this storyline?
Yes, to what part?
I think it's just so funny when he mentions the townhome. Like, he's like, I know you want that. I know they do set it up earlier episodes.
Yeah, but they didn't
so
set up
funny
the car.
That's like her thing that she really wants desperately.
And like, where are these townhomes in Stars Hollow? Like, I've seen every part of Stars Hollow.
A lot of geography questions in this episode. Where are the townhomes in Stars Hollow? Where are the bars where mud wrestling occurs in Stars Hollow?
Yeah.
This I do not know.
Or a bar anywhere. Like, what bar is that where it's just a dive bar and then there are just women, like a huge mud wrestling pit?
Maybe that's where Mr. Kim is. Hear me out. Like,
I just imagine, like, before the mud wrestling, like, the thing drops and it's like, here we go.
Maybe Mr. Kim owns the bar. Hear me out. No, I think I'm right. Yeah, but the Dean and Lindsay conflict, to me, this is the turning point where it's like, okay, we are supposed to not like her at this point. Because before it was like, oh, she wanted a townhome and she didn't work, but that's not like totally worthy of evil or whatever. But this is like, I want a townhome and I want a car and don't you care that I'm bored and
She doesn't seem, I still feel like, I'm not a fan of Lindsay, but I don't feel like, and no spoilers, but I still don't feel like it's like, oh yeah, she's terrible and she, you know, like I... Not to give too much away, but...
No, I agree. It feels more like a marriage with problems to me, and less like Lindsay is supposed to be.
Right, less like, oh, she's a terrible. I'm like...
Yeah, give it up for marital problems.
By the way, this is the best crowd because we have the... I feel like the call and response is that of a charismatic church in the South right now. And
you tell them. Hey, man. There's just one, like, person in the back just, like, fanning themselves in the mind.
Team D, Team Jen. Oh man. There we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Kevin's gonna come around and throw a Bible at each of you.
You get a Bible.
Okay.
Also one thing I wanted to point out is a funny parallel. I'm gonna play a scene from this episode, and I'm gonna play almost the exact same scene from an episode 3 seasons prior. So here we go. This is the first scene.
Well, a friend of mine is here, but she didn't say exactly where, so I'm just wondering...
Why? I don't want my time wasted that way. You don't want your time wasted that way. Why? Are dependent on you very people not wasting your time. I came here because of your reputation. Don't make me destroy that reputation.
And here's scene number 2.
Somewhere in this hospital are my mother and my father. Now, I know I don't get along with them, but there has to be some sort of intuition, some sort of blood bond that will somehow lead me to them.
That's crazy. My great uncle
founded it. And that's Emily.
Right?
It's hanging in the bottom. Don't look. It's right above the sign that says Founder!
Founder! So that's like a Palladinoism. It's the aggressive woman being found in a hospital by the volume of their voice. Who knew that could be a trope? But there we have it.
Why were the like nurses in the elevator embarrassed?
Yeah, they were like, chill out, like
it's like, oh no, it's this girl we don't know.
Oh boy, and that's not Grissom. That's just like, oh, that's an interesting hallmark. Just like think of it, close your eyes and think of England or whatever in all of her stuff. Which appears in both Bunheads and Gilmore Girls a few times. Now, Michael, we talked backstage.
Ooh.
And we talked about, and not to bring up too much conflict, but we talked about the name Gilmore Guys and how you might have an issue with it.
Well, I think it's not so much an issue as I find it extremely offensive and disrespectful.
Okay. I'm willing to hear you out.
Well, I feel like it doesn't acknowledge that 23 years before you were even born, there was already a Gilmore guy on the scene talking about Gilmore Girls.
And his name?
Is Michael Osceola.
Michael Osceola.
What are you talking about Gilmore Girls in the 70s?
I mean, maybe we can compromise like the other Gilmore guys or
okay, we'll
Gilmore guys with an asterisk at the end. Something that just shows respect for the folks who paved the way before you.
It's like how when they made the Ghostbusters cartoon, they had to call it the real Ghostbusters instead of Ghostbusters because there was already a fake cartoon called...
Oh, so maybe we should add the real Gilmore? Or yes. No, that's more offensive. We shouldn't do that.
We'll call ourselves the fake Gilmore guys.
So Michael Osceola, the original Gilmore guy.
Yeah, we can have our lawyers sort of figure out a compromise. Right.
We've got lawyers,
we don't have
for sure.
to work that out here.
By the way, I love that Coldplay song about you.
We have the exact same thought. I don't know where you're going with
this. Do you want to do it at the same time?
I don't know what it is.
And they were Osceola. For the listener at home, Michael just checked out of this.
Listeners at home, Michael is storming off the stage.
Oh, boy.
I was getting sort of messages and tweets about you guys that I should be a guest on your podcast. And The title turned me off. I was like, who the fuck do they think they are? And then I listened to one of them and like, oh shit, they're funny and charming and clever and they know their shit, so here I am.
Oh, that's so nice. That it's so that got a like this turned into a full house studio. Like we're getting all sorts of like
just wait till we bring out Uncle Jesse and everyone just starts going, woo!
The mirror.
He's not
thought.
Here. I'm sorry.
John Stamos is not here. I want to be very clear about
He's
that.
Very
John Stamos is not here. I'm so sorry. And it's funny that you say that too, Michael, because at ATX, we were, I mean, we told this story before,
yeah.
But Daniel Palladino comes out to us and puts his arms around us and says, so, Gilmore guys, you know, I was kind of the original Gilmore guy. I said,
so you've got to fight Daniel Palladino now.
Yeah, this is really a cage match situation.
I could take him.
Or mud pit situations.
Mr. Kimmel officiates.
Why is everyone obsessed with mud pits on this show? Why would that... Is that... That's not a good idea for... I feel like the idea of going to a strip club or any sort of establishment like that, that's like an... we're done with that, right?
This was 2004, though. What do you mean... What do you mean we're done with that?
I just feel... Even in the early... I'm saying even now, in 2015. Like, that doesn't... I don't... Does anyone here think that sounds like fun?
Magic Mike!
Oh, yeah. It's true.
You know what? Yeah. You've turned me around.
Wow. A two-word argument flipped his position completely.
Three-word counting XXL. Guys, Magic Mike XXL changed my life and made me a better man. I'm not kidding. Go see it. It's a masterpiece. Yeah. It's so good.
Welcome to the Magic Men podcast.
Magic Mike Men, baby. Oh, boy. How do we feel about the trope of cats representing loneliness for Lorelai?
I thought it was really funny. I just imagine someone who like lives across the street seeing Lorelai come out and yell at cats like, I'm a young, important woman, or whatever she said.
Yeah, desirable.
Yeah, desirable.
Awesome. I would watch a weekly show of Lauren Graham just talking to cats.
Oh, for sure.
I was watching that scene, I was like... 13 episode pickup instantly. Any network would be smart.
Tappy Talk on Bravo. Coming soon.
I was going to say, that's a TV Land smash hit.
Also, she says, I'm Babette in that scene, which I was like, calm down. Was that a slam on Babette?
She's so
weird. Which is when Rory put her in her place.
Yeah, Rory stopped her.
Because she was like, Babette's not single.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is great.
The last time we saw her interacting with Babette was when they only went over to her house to use the AC. So she's just like, I don't like this one, but she's a good punchline in my life.
A user, an abuser, entitlement. I want to read a post. So often to do research for the show, I go online, I read reviews, and I go to the archives of Television Without Pity. Can I get a what? Yeah. So Television Without Pity, this amazing site that unfortunately shut down a few years ago. So I found this post about this scene in particular that I found very funny. So this is from, you know, I don't need to say her name. It doesn't matter. But this was May 4, 2004. She wrote, wonderful episode, but I love cats, darn it. I have three. I'm single, and I do not by any means consider myself a loser. The cat plot spurs me not to defend my own choices, but to defend cats as a species against pop culture's all-around shabby treatment of them. My happily married parents have a cat. I have married friends who own cats. Cats are beautiful, graceful animals, perfect for those of us who enjoy the companionship of pets but find dogs, while adorable, a trifle too needy. Enough with the cat owner stereotypes already. Oi with the cat stereotypes already. Oh, boy.
I have a feeling that writer is in her home dead in Staten Island getting eaten alive by cats.
Yeah, eaten by the cats.
Oh, no. And that writer, what? No, I won't reveal the name.
She's here tonight.
Yeah. Just throwing cats like in the
Oh, boy. There's so much to talk about in this episode. But before we get to any more of it, I think it's time for the fashion report.
Fashion!
Yes! Cool, so let's start from the top. So, I mean, that's just like, so Lorelai is in her home. This is the first scene. She's wearing kind of a Henley, what are the, I don't know, clothes. Can someone else talk for this
part?
This
is called a shirt, Kevin.
Oh, it's a shirt. So she's wearing a shirt, sweatpants.
Blue shirt.
Looking good. This is my broad note for the last like 5 or 6 episodes of this season. Lorelai's hair looks fantastic.
Yeah, so good.
So good.
It always looks like she just got done filming like a Pantene commercial.
Did you just call Lorelai a broad?
What's that?
Did you just call Lorelai a broad?
No, a broad, that general, boy. I just, you just got
yellow. You have two strikes. Between this and the wife thing, it's not looking good for you.
I do think that there is a trend of, like, the women on this show, their pajama outfits are very unrealistic. They're always in, like, bras, underwear, like, full layers, like, a tank top. She supposedly just woke up in this scene. Rory tells her to go back to sleep. And this is what she's wearing. This is, like, what I wear for, like, a night out half the time.
Oh, boy. Something we should all aspire to. So let's go to the next one. This is Rory in her bathrobe. There are pretty little great pink robe. Butterflies on her bathrobe.
Very college.
In this scene.
Yeah.
Loving it. It's just funny to see anyone in a bathrobe. I just assume they're
It's like
privileged.
Six sizes too big, too. It's like Dom DeLuise's bathrobe. Yeah.
Shout out to Stars Hollow to Dom DeLuise, who makes a cameo, kind of, in this episode.
And is the father of, the real-life father of TJ.
I'm still here.
Oh, God, TJ.
Oh, we'll talk about TJ in a second. This is Kirk in the diner, kind of wearing his... Everyone's all... Guys, it's okay. He's fine.
He does look like he's the kid from The Sixth Sense, though. Even the face is like, I'm seeing a dead person as we speak.
And then let's, of course, go to the iconic character of Shell.
He looks like the middle Franco brother.
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
You.
If there is one.
You might be right. So unfortunately, this is, I feel like, something that I would wear, so I'm going to keep going.
No, let's stop for a second.
Hammer time.
No. This dumb sweater. No, I'm kidding. Well, does anyone have any notes on any? Okay.
Yeah, we can keep going. And of course, Asher Fleming and Paris looking on. Guys, I'm tired of Asher Fleming.
I'm tired
of his bullshit.
We'll talk about the scene in the hospital later, but weirdly enough, this episode is where I finally see him as like a young, like 30s, 40s man as opposed to the 60-year-old he actually is.
Interesting.
So I was in this scene, I was kind of like, oh, I think I get it with Paris. Not like I'm attracted to him, but I don't see him as old. I see him as like
sexy here.
He's a little sexy.
He's a little sexy. I mean, no, I always get the appeal sexually of Asher, but just also what's funny is the lighting in this scene. It looks like his collar is kind of popped. It's not, but it's just.
Oh yeah.
It'd be cool if like he thought popping the collar of your blazer was like a cool thing for professors to do. Speaking of collars and jackets. Ooh. For the listeners at home, we're looking at a picture of Lindsay in her corduroy jacket. Yeah, brown corduroy.
AKA baby Katherine Heigl.
Oh, shit, yeah. You're really good
at this. This was when Roswell was on, so they were probably like, we need someone like the Roswell girl. Because this is when that's a deep not a Katherine
She's
Heigl.
Busy, but we need someone like her.
Not a huge fan of the bangs here. This is a picture of Lorelai and Suki. Lorelai in her pink.
So this is them when they're standing just down the hall from Dean and Lindsay having an argument. Don't you think they would have been like, hey, why are you listening to us fight?
Like, literally turned 2 inches to your right.
Yeah, just been like, hello.
Oh, hi. It is, it's kind of sitcom-y blocking, but they both look terrific. Suki, is she wearing it's a smock, right?
Her chef's out,
Chef's out. Right.
She has a different one every time, I think.
I love it. I really do.
And of course, this masterpiece good. Of an outfit.
Wait,
No. We'll go back.
I was just going to say, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but her thing is embroidered, and it looks really cool. It's just...
Oh, I'm her like, skirt?
No, not... What no, skirt?
Suki.
Suki's chef outfit.
Oh.
It's embroidered, and she's wearing this really cool pin. Anyway, just a shout-out to the costume department. I don't know.
Yeah, shout-out to Brenda. Yeah. And then, of course, for all the team deans out there, it's a 4-star shirt. Is that a brand?
Out of 10.
Roasted!
Gotcha, team.
The classic long shirt underneath a short sleeve shirt that all the ladies clearly love. And then, of course, guys, this is a fashion thing, but it's going to launch into a further discussion. Look at these two. This is TJ and Liz.
I would wear that hoodie. I want TJ's hoodie.
I would wear
that.
I almost brought a picture of salami just to make a point. It's salami! They love the patterns! Yes!
It's kind
of. You see what I'm talking about? I'm not just hungry. Everywhere is salami in this show.
I mean, both things can be true at the same time, Vinny. It's okay.
I haven't eaten in weeks.
So TJ's wearing a hoodie that wouldn't be out of place in like an Urban Outfitters today, truthfully. Yeah. And then Liz is wearing, some more salami.
It's a salami, like a nurse's gown.
I almost bought a shirt with that exact same pattern yesterday.
You should have. You can hide in a deli.
And then, of course, let's talk about... It's only rock and roll, baby. What an edgy shirt. So this is Lorelai's button-up white shirt with the words "It's only rock and roll" written on it. Roy looks sad watching TV. She does not like Fatso. Wait, by the way, who here has seen Fatso? Is it the funniest movie ever made?
No.
Asked and answered. I don't know. That looks like a shirt that like Tom Morello would wear in Rage Against the Machine.
I think it's a Rolling Stones shirt though.
Or something. And then of course we gotta talk about the hair on Jess.
I'm on their side. The hair looks great. It's like you just stepped out of the shower.
You know what? I was saving this comparison. I'm gonna throw up another picture of Jess, but I kinda can't help myself. Here is the closest antecedent I can see to that outfit.
Edward Scissorhands.
It's a picture of Edward Scissorhands. It's because of the hair. It's because of the hair.
And the leather.
The stretch.
The hair's so long. It's
and
a
the
stretch.
Scissors for hands. Yeah.
I mean, it could be the role of a lifetime for him. This
could
is Lorelai in the Luke's Diner wearing a purple. Is that corduroy? Or is that just like, it's suede? Suede with a floral. More people are fainting in the audience at the mere sight of this. I hope the guy on the right's doing okay. It looks like he's holding his little neck.
Yeah. He's like, don't ruin the scene. Don't ruin the scene.
Don't cough. Don't make
he's
Amy
spurting
yell
blood.
And of course, in the hospital, this is Paris's and Rory's little outfits. I think Rory looks really cute here, actually. I like the sweater vest. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I
don't have to
Are you
any
never
of you.
Satisfied?
She'd buy it. Yeah. And then Paris is in. That's not a jean jacket. It's just like a.
It looks like a dark jean jacket.
Okay, maybe. And then a purple. I'm just glad they put bright colors on her. They need to undrab her. Her wardrobe. Paris is a bright and vibrant character, and she deserves a wardrobe of the same style. Am I right, ladies? Pandering. Okay.
That goes nuts.
And that's been the fashion report, unless we have any more stray observations, Dems.
That plant looks crazy. Let's go.
Okay.
Fashion. I forgot that's what we do.
Fashion. It's fashion. Yeah. I think we nailed it.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
So TJ, guys, I know a lot of you don't like TJ. I like TJ.
Wait, who?
What?
Wait, you don't like TJ?
No!
He's bottom five for me.
I do not like TJ at all.
Bottom five what?
Who are the other five?
I don't want to get into it right now, but he's on the list.
Good yeah, he's,
I think he's the lowest for me.
He's top two. This is him at his best, though.
It's at his worst. He gets in a fight with a child.
I know, but he starts a sweet
fight with his fiance's child.
His motives are sweet in that scene.
I don't think it's that sweet. I think if you retell that story, it's like, oh, I was trying to convince your son, and then I attacked him. Like, there was no in between there.
But okay, you're right. But I do like the moment that you quoted earlier when he's like, I'm still here. It's like,
because there's a real wink to the audience. He's like, I'm not going anywhere, baby. Yeah.
How many people here are Team TJ? There's no other team.
Yeah!
And how many people here are Team TJ Sucks?
Yeah!
About the same, different
50-50. Pitch. 50-50, yeah. 50-50 split. He's good for Liz. And I think
he's
that's
great.
The point.
You
that's
can
the,
see how happy she is.
Yeah.
That's the point of the character is like Luke's mean to both of them when they both show up on the scene. Luke's being a little D-bag.
But I love when TJ talks back to him and he's like, you're my best man. And then he's like, are you kidding? You'd be 800th on the list.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I was that's like, fun. TJ is an idiot, but he has self-awareness. And he's like, still, he's like Joey Tribbiani if he yeah. like could take
yes,
himself
he's very Joey.
Less serious.
I mean, guys.
But not as great.
Look again. He is Joey Tribbiani in a few years.
This is a picture from Joey Tribbiani's trip to Joshua Tree.
Where he meets Pepper Ann in the desert.
Yeah!
Someone write that fanfic, Joey Tribbiani and Pepper Ann.
Don't tie it to this show at all.
Yeah, please don't hashtag yeah. at Gilmore Guys show. Oh, boy. So, yeah, I like TJ. I think he functions well for what he is. And you know what? Truthfully, I know we get a lot of flack for not loving Jess, you know, unconditionally. But I did enjoy Jess in this episode.
Yay!
I think he's making a turnaround in these two episodes, particularly. Yes. The next episode, which we'll talk about, but like he exudes a very like emotionally mature response to some things that are bothering him. And in this one, he doesn't. The argument that they usually have. The argument they had last time with him and Luke was that, like, Luke was like, we gotta stop this wedding, and Jess was like, you can't stop it. Now Luke is like, you gotta go to the wedding, he's like, I'm not gonna go. It's, they flip. Well, I'm just saying they flipped, but they're still very characteristically themselves, and that they, like, Jess is apathetic and impassionate, and Luke is passionate, even if he's, like, being rude about something. And I like that they flipped it in a way where it's like, no, Luke is grown here, Jess is still being kind of a baby, and by the end of the episode, it's not the same.
which is, I love it. I really love seeing Jess actually grow and not just be like, oh, I don't like anybody.
Yeah. I knew it would happen. I'll say maybe you guys would come over.
What's that?
I said, I knew it would happen. I knew slowly you would
come
over.
We're not converted yet.
Oh, we're not converted. I'm just saying, for this episode, I think he's fine.
We're
just
good.
Visiting.
That's how it starts.
No, I think how it started for everyone was no, that's redacted. That's not actually how it started for everybody. But I do like it still is, like Dan was saying, very true to the character, but still the resistance when it comes to Luke and when it comes to the wedding and Liz and everything is, it's like acceptably jerky. It's not like, I love you, get in a car and drive away jerky. It's like, oh, you know, he's kind of putting up a fight, and he's kind of... But, you know, you can see some shades of evolution in his character overall.
He's like, my spinoff didn't work out. It really humbled me.
Sometimes you get in that wayward circle.
You can watch it.
Oh, don't forget about it.
I forgot about it.
You learn a lot reading six scripts that are never going to get made. It was fine. He's doing okay.
You know what I found out the other day? Him and Scott Baio were in a show together that was not... Because Scott Baio was originally going to be his dad on Wayward Circle, but they were in a sitcom that never aired. It got canceled
before Gilmore Girls?
Before Gilmore, yeah.
Oh, what was it?
Before Gilmore and in between, after Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Wait, why is Fresh
Prince... Does one of them have a connection to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Is that just how you mark time?
Milo Ventimiglia was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, guys.
No, he wasn't.
As who?
Yeah, I should pull up the YouTube.
Wait, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
Wait, what was his character?
I can't believe you're dropping this on us.
Yeah.
This is I'm not
scoop.
Breaking news.
You are too.
Is this
us.
How it feels, shocking. Michael, to break news? TV
so excited.
No, but no, you can find it on YouTube. He's like, he comes down from a... Or maybe I should just try to...
Honestly... Honestly, I'm just flabbergasted that there were white people in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And I'm just like, I think, I don't remember, I don't know.
I'm just flabbergasted that people cheered for me to find a YouTube video.
Oh wait, was he Will Smith's dad?
How come Uncle Jess don't want me, man?
Are you kidding me?
Debbie, don't bring that up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
did someone say that was Michelle?
Oh, poor Michelle. Let me see if I can find it. Demi, fill for time.
Guys, have you ever seen, like... So this show is crazy, right?
Because
there are points where Milo will be like, I'm not, I don't like you. And then other times he's like, you know, he's just like, he's like, I love... Are we done? Did we find it?
Yeah, but I gotta download it and do the thing.
Why do you have to download it?
Because I have to do the thing for it to show up correctly.
Okay.
You know, this is really something that preparation could have saved.
I saw Spy the other day. That was a great movie. Who here has seen Spy? This is the show, folks. This is what we do for the next...
Who's seen Spy?
Now, let's go around and list every movie and every one's ever seen. Actually, I'm trying to think of what else we can talk about that's in this episode while downloading this.
Well, let's talk about, just in general, Lorelai's response to Luke when Luke does make a move, when he says, stay tuned, things are changing, I tell you.
Oh,
big things
joking?
Are happening. Yeah. No, he's not edgy enough to be the Joker. Okay, let me see. Yeah, but that scene at the end I thought was very interestingly played. I feel like that was a scene, and they kind of repeat in the next one, where he asked Lorelai to the wedding, like, do you want to go? It'd be fun. But it was kind of like, that was kind of endemic of the culture we live in now, where everyone's going on accidates, where they're like, is this a date? I'm not entirely sure. Because the person asking doesn't make the intentions clear enough, so I feel like Luke is a part of that culture. A little bit.
I feel like that was a big thing for this type of show in 2003, where they were just like, is this a date? I don't know. What, you want to go on a real date? And then it's like, oh, Parker and Dawson, or Pacey?
Parker? Parker?
Is it Parker and Dawson?
Cozy and Dawson.
Parker. I'm leaving.
I've never seen Dawson.
I didn't even know what show you were referring to. Parker?
Parker Dawson can't lose.
I was talking about Parker Lewis can't lose, the show we all love.
Parker Lewis can't lose. Guys, I have the clip.
Thank
this
God I can
so,
stop talking.
This
get the
so
clip.
Funny. So this is for real. This is no bit zone. Milo Ventimiglia in his first ever on-screen role in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Uh-oh.
Which
Bob is here.
Here, here he is.
What were you guys doing? No one's allowed in the bedroom.
Hey, relax, Ash. We're just taking a little tour.
Hey, relax, Ash. We're just taking a little tour.
Love it.
That was like, listen, that was kind of like freaking Keg Max, right?
How do we know for a fact that was him? Do you have proof?
Well, if you guys watch on YouTube when you get home, it was him.
That was a very grainy clip.
I'm not tricking everyone, I promise.
I bet Milo's agent was like, we got to get all the clips grainy just so you don't know it's
blur,
him.
Blur, blur.
Wipe this from his history.
Oh, boy. So those are his roots. Also, Rory says when she goes to get Paris, just more on the Asher storyline, she says, this is a very good hospital. How does she know that? Why would she know that? Has she been to that hospital?
No, she just likes to Google hospital and sometimes be like, oh.
She looks up Yelp reviews of hospitals for fun.
Cedar Sinai, this is a good one.
Oh, boy. In the Asher stuff, I said before, but like, clearly he's manipulating her.
I have felt this weird thing when rewatching this, like, almost like he has magical powers. Like, it was like he had heard, there's some strange, it's like the whole Gilmore World thing where like, it's not quite reality. Like, he was so able to parrot back what Paris had been saying to Rory were her concerns about him. I was like, oh, like Asher has like this like kind of magical thing going on.
He's
like,
gaming everyone though, right?
It's almost like he heard them, but we know he didn't. So
it feels like he went into a coma and then floated over.
Yes, me too.
That's another story. Asher. It also kind of showed that I feel like it was a moment of like, oh, he's like a real adult. Like that seemed like, of course he's thinking like, it felt like maybe he heard them, but also like, oh, he's older and wiser and that, of course, that occurred to him that, like, I had a serious health scare and my young girlfriend's going to think I'm old. Like, that maybe he just, that played a moment of, like, oh, he's kind of like a real adult. I also thought it was weird that she's like, everyone will know when we go to Oxford, because wouldn't that put his job in jeopardy? Like, is that okay? I feel like...
It's all very unclear.
Like, is that allowed?
I feel like it's allowed if you're not a direct student of the teacher.
That's why I learned the hard way.
when you were teaching a class?
Hell yeah.
I also felt like Rory was, like, uncharacteristically rude to his granddaughter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was shocking.
She, like, slapped her when she came in.
Yeah, she was really angry.
Yeah, that was a weird scene because she said something rude and the granddaughter was like, I didn't hear a word you said.
Yeah.
And then like seconds later, she's like, oh, it's the granddaughter. Oh, God, I didn't. She doesn't know what happened. It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
And that was the first time they met those two characters? Because Rory, it seemed like there was a history there, an ugly
with
history.
The granddaughter.
Yes,
yeah.
With the granddaughter.
No, Rory's just like extra judgmental about this relationship in particular and like
and
has
most
been from
people
the start.
Yeah.
She's just,
it's really
she's
coming out.
Of other people's happiness.
Rory's a bit of a Judge Judy all of season four. It started with buying a tree for $20 and it's culminating with almost slapping a granddaughter in the hospital. Let's go to some Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
Someone asked, do laps exist?
Do laps exist?
This is, of course, referring to the scene where TJ, his mind is blown by the idea of, when you sit down, there's a lap. When you stand up, no lap. Where does it go? It doesn't exist. Does a lap exist? I say yes, they do.
Yeah, I'm definitely team lap.
I
think they're real.
Okay.
Laps.
Laps. Anna asks, if you follow this, I'm not going to read that. Sorry, Anna. Actually, no, I'll read it because she might be here. If you follow the self-help tapes, do you see her or his face?
Wait, like, do we see someone's face?
Yeah, it's kind of an abstract question. I'm moving on.
That's a
Naomi, this was a mistake. Naomi asks, can you guys record an audiobook to help Gillies realize who they really love?
That's sweet.
Well, I mean, we could try.
Chapter one.
Love!
Kevin?
Close your eyes. Let's do an experiment. I had a friend. Let's say his name was...
Bevan. Bevan Gorder.
Now, Bevan couldn't choose between three podcasts they loved to listen to. So I told Bevan, close your eyes. think of the podcast with the best guests and the best hosts. Can you see their faces?
WTF with Mark Maron.
Pow.
WTF.
Think about the podcast with the most loyal listeners and audience members. Can you see its face?
Still WTF with Mark Maron.
Think about the podcast that falsely built up reunion rumors only to have them dash at a festival about 2 months later.
You might have single-handedly caused us not to have a reunion at this point.
I don't think so, but no, we didn't. I'm sure we didn't. Because if we did, ironic. Am I right? Another question from Twitter. Tabitha asks, have either of y'all or any of us listened to read inspirational tapes or books?
Oh, I thought you were like, yeah, I've read a tape. Like, oh, well, thank you for the question.
I love self-help books. I think they're so fun.
They're so fun?
Yeah.
What's the fun of it?
It's like, it is a lot of like imagining yourself. Like, it's either really bad and the person's a con artist, or it's like good and you actually learn. Either way, it goes great. I like them.
Yeah, and you'll see a great mix of people in the self-help aisle if you ever actually go to a bookstore these days.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Well, now I'm buying them all on Amazon.
I mean, the self-help, it is like a bustling and booming section at any Barnes and Nobles. I know I said that wrong. Or Borders, if you will. There you go.
If you live in...
We'll never forget.
You guys just like shed a tear for a bookstore. I love it. We love you guys. That's so sweet.
Okay, Jenna asks, in what world does Michelle give enough of a shit to sleep with these crazies with this?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I love that scene, but it raises a good point. Michelle would not slum it probably
over. But isn't he just tired at the end? Like, it's not like at the end he really wants to help the zucchini. Isn't he just like, they make a point of him, he keeps going, I'm so comfortable. Like, yeah. I feel like that was a note one of the writers was like, would he do this?
Make sure
he says it's so comfortable. Like,
and
time.
He resists at first. Yeah. And Lorelai's like, Michelle, you're coming, you know? And then they go. That whole thing though, that's a little, again, like Gilmore World, that like they had the best night's sleep of their lives.
They learned a lesson.
They have Tempur-Pedic dirt.
Yeah, they all wake up like they freaking slept on like a Casper mattress or something. Like, we're not sponsored by Casper. I just want to point that out. But they're like, that was the best sleep of my life. It was touching. I feel like I'm a sucker for any scene in a TV show or movie where it shows like all the friends like falling asleep under the stars. I feel like that's a trope that gets to me.
Aw, Kevin.
Guys, I'm doing okay. I can't read these odds anymore. You guys are so generous with your response.
I feel like they just gotta watch like, all right, and 30 seconds. Aww.
You guys should do a live podcast in a zucchini patch.
Let's do it.
Like, do like a sleepover with a bunch of gillies and just you guys.
I see problems with this. I see some. It's,
well, for one, Kevin's not allowed to be 50 feet within any of our things.
That's not true. Of a zucchini patch?
Yeah, of a zucchini patch.
I can't be within 50 feet of a zucchini patch. Boy.
I thought it was especially funny that Michelle was yelling about not having a bed.
Ooh.
What? We're doing something right now.
I think I know what it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin just left the stage. So I thought it was really funny that Michelle was like, where is our desk? I'm pretty sure they had a desk in the previous episode. I feel like they were working from a desk. Yeah. And also, they have a thing where Michelle goes, and where is my bed? Why does he need a bed at the inn? Like, do they let him take breaks and sleep?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, ask and answer. Kevin, welcome back.
Hello. I just had to get a thing.
I get really weirdly persnickety about certain things. I'm just like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Was this the episode where Michelle started on the ground? He's like, my chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your Michelle is way better than
Do
mine,
you know
which is, I think, what we just realized.
Yeah. I had to take 25 messages you left for yourself, and none of them you read.
Me?
Oh, yeah.
Aisha has a good note about the messages.
Oh.
Well, I just thought it was weird that she makes a note that says there's too much salt in the gazpacho that Suki's making, because I feel like she would never tell Suki how to make food.
Yeah, that was shocking.
I thought that was over the line.
It was very bold. Like, she knows there's too much salt? Come on.
I thought if, like, she saw that note in the morning, she'd be like, that was a mistake, and I can't go through with that.
She was sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually they have good boundaries, which is rare for Lorelai's relationships.
Yeah, and also, that's true. But also, Suki kind of makes a weird choice with Shell, so maybe they're kind of evenly matched in this episode.
Yeah, that was, yes.
It was very strange.
Well, never in a million years would a place called Stars Hollow exist.
But it exists right here, Demi.
You're pointing to your ribcage?
Yeah, it's in my ribs.
Yeah,
cool. Now, we have a little bit of time. If anyone in the audience has any questions, I'm going to wade out into the murky depths of the audience.
Go, There's Moses,
murmurs.
Go.
Hello? Can you hear me? Am I on? Cool.
We hear you.
I come down. Descend. I saw a hand in the back. Yes, ma'am. What's your question?
So Liz had a Renaissance theme wedding. If you were to pick a theme for your wedding, what would it be?
Gilmore Girls. Just yeah. kidding.
For Kevin, it'd be Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, that actually won't be far from the truth.
All the men would have small American flags in their back pockets. All the women would be dressed like Courtney Cox.
Yeah, and they'd all be named Mary. That's true. Any other theme wedding ideas? Because that's probably, yeah, I mean, I won't do a theme wedding, but if I did, it would be that. Do you have one,
First
Jimmy?
Off, it's sweet that you both think we're, or that you would think we're both going to get married.
That we're marriage
point.
Material at all.
No odds for that one. They know. No, themed wedding.
I said some bad things about wives earlier tonight. So I don't know how qualified I am.
Would you guys have any themes for
Hannibal? I would do a Hannibal themed wedding.
That
would be cool.
What would a Hannibal themed wedding look like?
Well, you'd eat other people for the reception, and then at the end, everybody would kill each other.
Sick.
I love it. So it's kind of a red wedding.
I was gonna say.
It's a little like
spoiler.
Red,
sorry.
A little less violent than the red wedding.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful wedding.
Any other questions? We have one right here in the corner.
Of all the ways that you thought Luke would realize he was in love with Lorelai, what did you think was going to happen? I did not anticipate self-help tapes.
No, I didn't either.
I think we spelled it out with the Maroon 5 situation. Yeah.
I thought it would be something more, like, that seems like it's not a trope, you know, of like, oh, he
self-help.
Picked up. Yeah, I thought it would be something like he sees Lorelai with another guy and he's like, why are you so mad at me? I'm mad. I don't know why. It's like, why are you mad? Because I love you. That's why.
And then damn it, like Lorelai.
There's like a pause and Luke walks away and Lorelai's like, wait, do you mean what you said? What did I say? I don't know. You said that you loved me, Luke. Is that true? Yeah, it is. Then let's make this work.
If this podcast has proved anything, it's that fanfic doesn't ever have a shelf life. We have a question right down here.
Kevin just wants to give the men a fair shake.
I do. This podcast is about men, damn it. Okay, here we go.
Hey. So I hadn't seen Gilmore Girls before this, but I thought TJ started badly with Jess when the first thing he says walking into the bar is like, hey, just so you know, I wish I could be spooning with your mom right now.
Interesting point.
Yeah.
I thought that was... It was stupid and funny, but in a TJ way. Like, I feel like speaking TJ's language, that's kind of sweet. Like, it's not like he said, yo, I wish I was with your mom, you know, doing the thing. But, like...
You can't. The people at home can't see the gesture. You just
whatever gesture you think it was, you're correct.
I got another one from a guy.
You guys are gonna go back and listen to this podcast and be like, why did we talk about TJ so much? You know you're gonna regret it.
No, we will not.
No, this is finally
I'm gonna edit it so it's only TJ.
Unless in like the finale, TJ turns out to be a murderer, I'm gonna be like, oh, yeah. Whoops.
I've been waiting for years to talk about TJ.
I love him.
My question is, why does Lindsay not have a job?
Typical man. Asking the question. You think it's so easy to be a housewife. I love wives. I've gone on record saying how much I love wives. But it is a fair question. Why doesn't Lindsay have a job?
Well, if Lindsay gets a job, who's going to hang out with her friends?
Yeah, that was the big thing. Like, oh, I'm bored. I want to hang out with, like, Terry or whatever the hell she said. Who? What name did she say? Someone correct.
Something.
Me.
Erica?
Erica? Erica sounds like a
these
gym.
People have read transcripts.
I hope no. What's that?
These people have read transcripts. We are unprepared.
Yeah. No, I've read trends. I mean, you have to.
Was Parker and Dawson, were their friends' names?
Yes. Classic Parker and Dawson move. I'm switching back to the handheld. Boop, 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 boop. Perfect.
Lovely.
Thank you. Any other stray observations from this episode? Things we want to cover, go over that we haven't? TJ stuff, Dean stuff, Jess stuff, Lindsay stuff.
My notes to see if I have anything.
Yeah, usually Demi has some rapid fires at the end that he saves and then blows everyone's mind for the end.
Like the Spice Girls theory, which has held up.
Which means all of you listened to that today, which is crazy. Because that episode came out like 20 hours ago. Anyway.
I really wish that we had taken a screenshot of Asher when they first go to the office, mm-hmm. because on the wall is just the words, "The time has come," circled 100 times. And then like some buzzwords about English, like philosophy and like memorization. It's like, well, I don't know what he was teaching them. We should talk about the scene where Lorelai shows up outside of Luke's at like 5 in the morning before it's open. Too much coffee, and then Kurt comes in. So there are like two people in there before it's officially open.
And yeah. There's someone outside. If you look at that scene, there's like a man walking around outside. I'm like, it's hopping.
That he's going to haunt one of his ex-girlfriends. That's a creature.
They treat going to Luke's like they're waiting for like a Harry Potter movie at midnight or something.
It is crazy. I mean, and yeah, they're both just like little sad dogs waiting outside. And for Kirk to like have the balls to go in when there's a close sign on the door takes a lot.
Kirk owns this town. Let's be honest.
I mean, you may be right.
He has 43
jobs. Yeah, he has 43 jobs. Yeah. That's true. Oh, okay. Wait.
That's a very good point.
Wait, that's the theory from the audience. Kirk has all the jobs, which is why Lindsay can't get one. Kirk has cornered the job market in Stars Hollow.
Lindsay goes in with an application somewhere and then sees Kirk turn around and it's like, not you again. That's right, Lindsay. I've got this job too.
My lungs. Or whatever.
The very first note I had for this episode was, beautiful cat. There was a brown stripe-ish cat. Like the very first cat we see, I was like, that's a good. There are brands of cats I get. I don't know them.
I don't understand where you're going for right now. Demi is a connoisseur of cats. We all have our hobbies.
What does this say? 73 Siamese?
Oh boy. Yum yum.
I mentioned this earlier, but Fatso, the movie that they watch, stars Dom DeLuise, who is the father of TJ.
True.
TJ and his brother, who is in this episode at the place.
Harpo DeLuise.
Yes.
Or whatever his name is.
Yeah. So
it's
this is
Michael
big...
and someone.
Michael and David.
David.
Yeah, so this is a big episode for the DeLuise family.
Yeah. I mean WB, more like DeLuise.
Go ahead.
Aisha is so disappointed in me. Ooh, I want to see Fatso now, just for the scene that they cut on where everyone's chanting, fat, 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 fat. I did try to find on iTunes, and there's another movie called, it's on YouTube? All right, we'll watch it. Actually, we're not going to do 421 for the next show. We're just going to watch Fatso. And do live commentary. Fatso fellas.
I also wrote the note, Glenn is a creep. Because of the scene where he tells a girl that he was watching in her window, and she's like,
oh, yeah. So weird. Glenn is like a known pervert.
Yeah.
He can't get within 50 foot of his zucchini patch if it's anyone.
Yeah, that's
by the
very
way.
True.
I mean, yeah, they've increasingly made him more and more unstable as the scene. It's been one of my favorite arcs actually in the show. perfect storytelling for Glenn.
And then the only thing which we touched on before is the Asher scene in the hospital of him talking to Paris is like masterful manipulation. Like I was just watching it and thinking, oh wow, like this is, it doesn't feel like this was written. It feels like this is like a transcript of something that happened to someone. It feels mm-hmm. like this is how you manipulate like a younger girl that you're dating. Into
pointers, man.
What?
I said pointers.
Okay,
all the
men. We're cutting that out.
No, but
I'm just saying, like, you just...
I wasn't going like, wow, impressive. I was going like, holy shit, this guy is like, he's like a notes. Very subtle, well-written villain, like a WB villain. He's not gonna kill anyone, but he's clearly the guy that you're like, I shouldn't root for this guy, but he's doing a great job of acting. So I was very impressed by that scene, and also it was just kind of like, ah, I'm scared of Asher now.
Paris, I'm too old for you.
He's two steps ahead of Paris in this game they're playing.
Which is scary for anyone to be. I mean, people can get two steps ahead of Paris only when it comes to romantic stuff. That's the only place where she seems to be vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
Like, because everything else, she's just A+.
Demi, were you scared when you heard Paris calling from the hospital? Were you like, oh no, is Paris hurt?
Nah.
Demi gets the sweats.
Paris couldn't be killed by like a speeding truck. She's invincible.
She's invincible.
She's Supergirl.
Oh boy, should we write the episode? Is it that time?
The fight.
Oh, let's talk about Let's talk about the fight real quick. This is why crowds are good. We should record every one of our episodes like this.
With a crowd?
Where there's people like, you forgot this, dude.
We should just have anybody to give us checks and balances.
Yep, that's also true. The fight, the brawl that breaks out, Jess brings a book to a strip club, which, guys, I can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
Okay. I almost said I can't fault him, but now I don't want to say it.
I would love to see, like, if Jess was on one of those, like, posters, like, at your local library, like, read, but inside the strip club. Like, Yo-Yo Ma, but just, like, there are women behind me, and I'm into Moby Dick.
Hey, Magic Mike. So he's reading the book, and then TJ flips out of his hand. I mean, is it that offensive to start a big brawl, you know, over?
I think it's just, like, disrespectful in the sense that Jess sees him make some sort of move, and he's like, look, something just happened, and I'm not okay with it, so he pushes back.
Let's actually just watch a clip of it real quick.
This girl's wallowing on the look at me.
Great show
I
for women.
I tell your mom no.
I think I found a job for Lindsay.
Like telling her what she's
oh, shit! Oh, shit! Stop!
Who's he saying stop to? Is he saying stop to Luke saying don't hold me back? Or is he saying stop?
I think he's saying...
It's like an emotional response.
Well, because I think Luke really starts like... You know, toss him around like a rag doll.
As he should. Luke behaves like an adult, unlike TJ.
You know, we'll continue this conversation later. Yeah,
this is an entire other podcast, the trial of TJ.
But yeah, in general, I just don't know if it's earned. You know what I will say about this, and even though it's kind of sloppy, because they're kind of like slapping each other at the beginning, but I think, you know, to bar from DCP, it's not a bug, but it's a feature. Just kind of like the fight at the keg party in season 3 was kind of sloppily choreographed. It's very, shockingly, Gilmore Girls has some of the most realistic fight choreography on television.
Take note, John Woo.
Yeah. I just see doves coming out of Jess's hair.
I just think that it's so well choreographed because you kind of tell what they're going for. They're not trying to land punches. They're trying to grab each other's collars in the same way that Luke actually does.
Right.
So it just seems like they're both trying to be like, now listen here, but they're both like doing it over each other.
Although I did think the ending was weird. When he turned on the boombox and gave it to Jess and that weird song play.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that part? Here, I'll play. I'll refresh your memory. It's just a weird part. It was just a weird song choice for me. I don't know.
What is it with him?
He looks like Ace Ventura.
Kinda. What? That's a weird song choice for this show.
I think it fits.
Enjoy.
I don't really.
If you wanna get with me. Make it last.
It just seemed a little off-brand. Don't like there should have been like a Sam Phillips cue or something.
That was Sam Phillips.
Oh, it was?
So don't go wasting my precious time.
It's your Sam Phillips impression.
I don't want to do an impression. I'm just like, what's her impression? A woman's voice.
True. Okay. Well, yeah. But yeah, that's the passing of the torch. I found this secret knowledge through self-help tapes and books. And now I give it to you, Jess, and then we'll see what happens with that in the next episode. But yeah,
are we to assume that he went through all of those self-help tapes? Like he listened to all of them?
I bet he's binge listened, bro. Yes, I bet he did. Yeah.
He loves to read. We know that.
Yeah.
In a way, it was like Luke was listening to a podcast, in a way, if you think about it. Isn't that a nice thought?
Yeah. It's a very nice thought.
I think it's a nice thought. Anyway, let's rate the episode.
We shall.
I really enjoyed it. It's setting up good things. This is a good... I feel like the last stretch of episodes of season four, like the last five or so, maybe starting with like Scene in a Mall and going all the way down, maybe plus or minus Girls in Bikinis, Boys Doing the Twist. But like, I feel like it's such a fun, strong stretch for the show. Maybe one of the best. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 zucchinis.
Nice. I think this episode is great. The only fault that I have in it is the way in which Luke like finds out that he's in love with Lorelai. Just in my head, I was like, come on, you either know, or it's not like a switch that you flip and you're just like, oh yeah, like... I didn't feel like that was very... I like the thing of self-help tapes just because it feels so original. Bless you. But I didn't think that... in my head, I was just like, that would... I don't think that would happen. Like, please, if someone has had that experience of being like, oh, I didn't realize I was in love with this person, let me know. But, like, it just doesn't seem like a thing where you...
I see 2 or 3 hands.
It was like a switch for you?
You listened to a self-help tape?
See, that's what should have happened.
I don't know if that's a switch.
Luke gets drunk. He's like, Lorelai, pretty hair.
Lorelai's pretty, pretty hair. Hair.
Pretty hair. So pretty. But everything else, I think, was really done well. I love Paris in the hospital and Asher in the hospital. Rory has a weird place in this episode of bouncing between things and not really having any sort of agency, which is fine. She's just used for a weird punchline about her not knowing who to insult. But I give this episode 8.5.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going
raised
half
me above. Half a point.
8.5 Casper mattresses.
Yeah. Classic Casper mattresses.
You gotta get them. No, I'm kidding.
They're beautiful, baby.
I'm glad that Jess is back, so that was exciting.
Sure.
I really enjoyed that. I would have liked a little more, a better Rory storyline, I think. You know, she kind of got lost in this episode a bit. And always want more Emily, and I didn't really get that.
Yeah. That's why it's 9.5 for me.
Yeah. But again, the Luke thing was really big, and I like all the Luke and Jess stuff. So I think I'll give this 7 out of 10 rock and roll shirts.
It's only rock and roll, baby.
Yeah, to me, this was more of like a teeing up for future big moments in the coming 2 episodes. So I liked all that, and I was as unrealistic as we're, you know, saying it might be with the self-help tapes. I was moved when Luke has his moment. So I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10 chow mein sandwiches. Which Luke is hearing good buzz about. I don't know if you missed that one.
Excellent.
This episode holds a special place in my heart because it's like the beginning for me of the Luke and Lorelai love story. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Right off the bat, you know, that sort of puts it in positive territory. Knocking off a couple points for the Dean and Lindsay fight. And also the absence of Kelly Bishop was hard for any episode.
It's always tough,
hard
man.
For me.
These last few years of TV have been tough for me with a Kelly Bishop on it. I don't care.
I'll give it 8 out of 10 fatsos.
8 out of 10 fatsos. That's a large rating for Michael Asiello. All right, now it's time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow, where we grossly plug our social media and what we're working on. Aisha.
I'm at Ishmu, E-E-S-H-M-U on Twitter.
Excellent.
I'm that shiny unicorn on any social media that
were
exists.
Were you stoked that you got that name?
I went through like 20 other names first that were taken.
Wait, what were
at the
others?
Time. It was all like, it was much less like a name. It was like, I heart unicorns and stuff like that. But then at work, my name at work is shiny because of my Twitter handle. So I'm so glad I'm not like, I heart at work. Like I can't even imagine yeah. what it would be.
Totally.
Michael Osiello on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
Excellent.
Aren't
guys.
Aren't you just Osiello on Twitter?
What?
Aren't you just at Osiello on Twitter?
No, at Michael Osiello.
You're trying to...
Whoa. Who am I following?
Whoa.
Yeah, you have a deal with someone else and you're like, plug that.
That's an Osiello parody account. It's like those Will Ferrell parody accounts.
I don't know who you're following, but it ain't me.
Oh, no. I'm getting all the wrong news.
This is bad. Oh, man. We did it, guys. 420. Hell yeah.
Kevin, that's very inappropriate.
Oh, sorry. And then you know our stuff. We don't need to talk about it. Right?
Go see...
Inside Out.
Yeah. Oh, no, go someone, see the Minions movie,
everybody.
Someone
said Minions, no.
Minions. Minions.
This is my nightmare. No.
I haven't seen the Minions movie. I'm an adult.
Someone said, hey, Pixar, you don't need to bother a story. Just put some goggles on Tic Tacs and you'll make the highest grossing... That was a tweet, I think, by A.K. Lingus.
You laugh, but they're millionaires.
Oh, no. I mean, no. They figured it out. Thank you to everyone who came out tonight. Guys, give it up for Michael Osiello, Sarah Hayward, Aisha Muhar. And thank you so much to everyone who came out tonight to the shows. We sold the show out in, like, less than 24 hours, this first 7:30 show. And it just means so much for us for, like... You know, it's just a podcast that we started, like, as a kind of a joke, less than a year ago, and now we're here, and it's only because of you guys, and because the response has been so amazing, because you guys are, like, so sincerely invested in watching the show and enjoying it, and it's been such a cool journey for us, so I think there's nothing left to say except
out on the road, feeling lonely. And so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. That you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow where you lead.
I like that song.
Yes!
Thank you, everybody!
Thank you so much for coming out to the show! With Aisha, Sarah, Michael! Thank you so much, guys. We'll be seeing you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.